Previously on the Back to You podcast.
That was some bad banter.
Terrible, the worst.
Bad banter. Bad banter.
All right. You're hearing this, right, all in? Gee. Oh
my God, it's pouring out there. I had no idea it was going to rain today.
You're the weather girl.
I know, right?
So that's it. You're not going to talk to me anymore?
What do you want me to say, gutter balls?
Oh, that's mature.
Two pins! All you needed was two pins in the last frame and we would have won.
Yeah, well, I couldn't find a ball with the right sized holes. I happen to have a huge middle finger. You want to see it?
This is episode 8 of the Back to You podcast, Cradle to Grave. I'm Lights Camera Jackson. I've been saying from the beginning of this podcast that Back to You had one of the greatest casts of a TV series, of a TV comedy series of all time. Joining me later in the show is Liz Marks, the casting director of Back to You. Gonna talk to her about getting the original gang and then making some changes as the show went along. Liz Marks, casting director of Back to You, will be on the podcast in just a little bit. Also, for the first time, gonna do a trivia question at the end of this podcast episode about something in this episode of Back to You, Cradle to Grave. So stay tuned for that. You'll be able to answer it on Twitter, tweeting the podcast at Back to You Pod, with what you think the answer is based on what happens in the episode. Last time on the podcast, focused on episode 7 of Back to You, Something's Up There, which aired on Fox in the middle of November. Then the show fell victim to the writer's strike and was off the air for more than 3 months. Production shut down. Everything was halted. But in the midst of all of this, in my neck of the woods, Albany, New York, the local Fox station every year holds a telethon benefiting the Center for Disability Services. And that year, they decided to fly in Fred Willard, Marsh McGinley, our sportscaster here on Back to You, and have him co-host the telethon. Fred was on the podcast here a few weeks ago, talked about his experiences flying into Albany and doing that appearance at the telethon. It was a really weird time, though, because the show's been off the air. Who knows when it's going to come back, what's going on. And so I have to go down to the local hotel where this is happening and try to meet Fred. So I do that. I go down. It's the end of January. After a little while, I see Fred, get to meet him. We talk about his upcoming live-action role in Disney Pixar's animated WALL-E. WALL-E opened on June 27th, 2008, so just about 5 months away from that. He gave me some inside details on that and then told me that Back to You would be back on the air pretty soon. And he so appreciated that even though I was only 9 years old, that I was such a fan of this show, thought it was so clever and so funny. We got a great picture and actually got it autographed from him several months later. It says, hi Jackson, nice meeting you, Fred Willard. Really nice that he did that. And we reminisced about that a few weeks ago. If you missed that episode of this podcast, go back to episode 3. That's when Fred Willard was on. But again, he was confident at the time that they would be back soon, back in production soon, and that the episodes would start airing again soon. And they did. Finally, on Tuesday, February 26th and Wednesday, February 27th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, right after two new live episodes of American Idol with American Idol performances, Fox decided to air the next two episodes of Back to You, episodes 8 and 9, back-to-back two nights. This is the only time in the run of Back to You that there were two new episodes back-to-back on two nights in a row. But it was a cool little mini television event. I was a big fan of American Idol at that time. I still am. But I was watching American Idol like 30 million other people were at the height of this show in 2008. And I stuck around, along with a lot of other people, to watch these two new episodes of Back to You. How many people stuck around? We'll get into that later on in this episode as well. But I'm glad Fox at least cared enough about Back to You to give it these prime slots to go after their biggest show, American Idol, with a show that at the time they seemed to care about. They wanted people to come back to this show to get used to seeing these characters again. So thankfully they did this. If they hadn't done this, I don't know where these episodes would have aired, how it would have gone with the rest of the flow of everything. On this day, February 26th, Patricia Heaton made a big talk show appearance. Regis and Kelly were in Los Angeles for the week because that previous Sunday night was the Academy Awards, and Regis covered the red carpet. He hosted the red carpet show for ABC. So he and Kelly decided to stay out in Los Angeles for the entire week, get up early and do their show live at 6 a.m. Pacific time to make it 9 a.m. Eastern time, and did a whole week of Live with Regis and Kelly in Los Angeles. And that day on the Tuesday, Patricia Heaton came in to talk about the return of Back to You.
Our show's, we've been on strike, so we're going back to work in a few weeks, but we're starting to air tonight.
Oh, really?
Thank goodness we're coming back on the air. I've been off since October. So
you two are still doing the news together?
We're doing the news together. The setup of the show was that before Chuck Darling left the station, we had a one-night fling, which resulted in our having a daughter, which he had found out about when he came back. I tried to keep it from him.
Yeah.
So now the tension in the show is, how much do I let him in my life? Do I even let my daughter know he's her father? And so that's been kind of the emotional
underpinning. Used to be a comedy the last time I heard about it. All of a sudden, it's an emotional drama.
No, and I'm very funny. And Kelsey's okay, too.
Apologies for the audio quality, but if you know me well, you know I had to get Regis into this podcast. I love how Regis thinks it's a drama now. Because it is a dramatic storyline, but told in a sitcom. And then they show a clip of a scene of this episode of Cradle to Grave, and then Regis makes an interesting observation and asks Patricia Heaton an interesting question.
Eventually, you two are going to have to get back together again.
Yeah, right? I think, we want to make it last
It'll
for
be fun
a while.
To see
and
how
I,
it
we'll
happens.
Probably get back together and break up and get back together, so it might be a little bit.
Yeah, before, absolutely. Well, you can see it tonight, 9:30, after American Idol on Fire.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next.
Now, as we'll get into a little bit later on with the casting director of Back to You, this is the last episode of Back to You featuring Laura Morano as Gracie. There will be a different Gracie in some of the final episodes of Back to You. This is the last one with Laura Morano as Gracie. And it's her biggest episode yet. Gracie gets a lot of screen time, as we'll get into what happens in this episode here in just a bit. Here's a sit-down interview that Laura Morano did talking about her character.
Gracie she definitely speaks her mind. So when, like, her mother, Patricia, when she doesn't, say, oh, you can't do this, can't do that, she'll, like, protest. She won't be like, okay, fine. She'll be like, excuse me, I want to go.
So now the stage is set. Here we go. This is episode 8 of Back to You, Cradle to Grave. Former weekend anchor Ed Coleman died after a brief illness. Kelly announces this on the air, and then Chuck decides,
and so let us end tonight's broadcast as Ed used to end his own, by saying, see you later, Pittsburgh.
We're clear.
See you later, Pittsburgh. A, it's not exactly good night and good luck. And B, Ed's not seeing anyone later.
Turns out Marsh and Ed had a real connection because they played poker together every week for 20 years. And Marsh doesn't know what to do, but Ryan volunteers the fact that he's never played poker and he'd want to join, and Marsh now wants him to play poker. Kelly got a call to do the eulogy. And she seemed surprised because Ed was always kind of mean to her. She doesn't understand why she got the call, and Gary doesn't understand why he didn't get the call because he and Ed spent a ton of time together. Montana asks Chuck if he'll do a eulogy, but Chuck says he isn't even going to go to the funeral. He didn't know Ed, and at the age of 9, Chuck decided really to not do things he didn't want to do. There are 3 different storylines in this episode, all with different emotions. One of them involves the fact that because the babysitter for Gracie canceled for the funeral for tomorrow, Chuck volunteers, "Hey, I'll babysit Gracie." Kelly at first doesn't think it's a great idea, but he persuades her, and so Chuck is gonna babysit Gracie while Kelly's at the funeral, and he tells her that he charges $10 an hour for babysitting. We go to Chuck's hotel. Kelly drops Gracie off. She thinks it's kind of weird that Chuck is babysitting her. Again, she still doesn't know that he's her father. So once Kelly's gone, he's ready to get the party started, gets out some things that he hopes will make Gracie happy, like a movie to watch and some air zookas, but Gracie's not impressed. We go now to the funeral home for Ed's funeral. Marsh loves the casket, solid mahogany. Gary says that Ed would have appreciated that because he was a woodworker. Gary's ready to spew out all this stuff about Ed because he wanted to deliver that eulogy. But we all find out as an audience first from a couple of the guys talking to each other that most of the people there think that Ed and Kelly slept together for about a decade. Kelly has no idea, and eventually the rest of the News 9 team will find this out. Kelly's getting ready to do the eulogy, and so she's going over some things, but Gary wants to correct her on everything.
Listen, how is this for a start? Edwin. Edwin Coleman Jr.
III.
Was a native of Pittsburgh.
Cleveland.
Who was passionate about 2 things, the news and his friends.
Golf and animals.
Okay, Gary. I know you're upset about not being asked to speak, but listen, it's time to put yourself second. There's nothing Ed hated more than selfish people.
Clowns.
Meantime, Ryan is very emotional. He's crying about the fact that Ed is no longer here. But when a guy walks by that Ryan thinks was Ed, he starts to realize, man, I don't know who Ed actually was.
Marsh? Did Ed have a twin brother?
No.
Then who is that guy?
That's Pete Seligman.
Then who's Ed?
Ed! You know Ed.
Ed!
Stop saying the name, that doesn't help me.
This is one of my favorite lines from Back to You. We're back at the hotel. Gracie's asking Chuck a lot of questions. Why are you babysitting me? What's your relationship like with my mother? Then all of a sudden, Chuck's latest girlfriend, a young blonde named Amber, comes by, and there's a little bit of a dynamic between Amber and Gracie because they're both very young.
Who's that? Who's that?
Gracie, I'd like you to meet my friend Amber, and Amber, this is my friend's daughter, Gracie. I'm just looking after her this afternoon.
Oh, that's so sweet. Look how cute you are. How old are you?
11. How old are you?
God, she's her mother.
Gracie questions whether the two of them are boyfriend and girlfriend, and that really doesn't go so well. Ryan has had enough of not knowing who Ed is, so Marsh decides to take his phone and go snap a pic of Ed inside the coffin to show him what Ed looked like. Before he's able to do that, Montana brings up to Marsh the fact that most of the people there think that Kelly and Ed were sleeping together. And Marsh says that's not true. He was just saying that to his country club friends because Ed didn't want them to find out that he was actually gay. Then Montana brings this up to Gary, and he's absolutely stunned. He had no idea that Ed was gay, even though they spent so much time together. They went to Steelers games, they played golf, they went fishing, they went on theater trips to New York City, wine tasting trips, and buggy trips to see the leaves. Now Gary's starting to figure this out. The investigative journalist is stunned. When Marsh goes to the casket and tries to take the picture of Ed. He opens it up just a little bit, puts the phone in, but then the pastor comes by and tells him that the service is about to begin, and he closes the casket quickly and the phone drops in. The phone is in the casket. Marsh goes back to his seat, and Ryan asks him,
"Hey, where's my phone?" "It's in a better place."
So Chuck and Amber end up breaking up in the hotel room, and Gracie's witnessing all of this. She asks Chuck even more questions about his relationship with Kelly, why he's babysitting Gracie, why he cares what she thinks about things. And Gracie starts figuring out that maybe Chuck and Kelly like each other, which Chuck denies immediately, but maybe not entirely. Back at the funeral, Kelly's about to deliver the eulogy, and there's a lot of double entendres and sexual meanings because she still has no idea about what Ed said about her to all these people, so she's just delivering the eulogy, and it's written in a meticulous sort of way where all those sexual meanings come out, and a lot of people are laughing, and Marsh is just overwhelmed. He then has had enough. He goes up, and he whispers into Kelly's ear the truth. And Kelly is shocked, but now understands why she was asked to deliver the eulogy.
"And I would hate to think years from now that all people would remember of this solemn occasion is that I marred it with a few ill-chosen words.
I think you're in the clear."
Then comes one of the more pivotal, moving scenes in Back to You. It's Chuck and Gracie down at the bar, which is one of Chuck's favorite places in the hotel. They're down at the bar, and Gracie's enjoying being with him. She wants to eat some wasabi. Chuck warns her it's going to be too hot for her, but she doesn't care. She eats it, and then she spits it out and drinks a little bit of water. Then this guy comes up. He recognizes Chuck from being on TV.
"Hey, you're Chuck Darling.
Yeah.
I watch you all the time."
"Oh, thank you."
"Oh, is this your daughter?"
"Oh, well.
Yep. Right, Dad?"
"Well, it's nice to meet you. Just wanted to say hi."
"Thank you."
"I just thought it would look kind of weird if a guy said he was babysitting a kid in a bar."
Then Chuck and Gracie proceed to have a little conversation. There are some very sweet moments between these two characters and some nice acting by a young Laura Morano who more than holds her own alongside the veteran Grammer. Gracie talks about how she doesn't currently have a father figure in her life, but she says if her real father did fully enter her life that it might change things for the worse because she and her mother are best friends, and she doesn't know how she would deal with somebody else being in her life like that. Chuck seems to understand that, but you know in his heart that he wants Gracie in his life. Then Kelly arrives at the bar, exhausted from the craziness at the funeral. She sits down, and Gracie sort of whispers to her that he thinks Chuck likes her. And the final scene of this episode of Back to You, Cradle to Grave is Gary at the gravesite. And then all of a sudden, the cell phone rings yet again. And that is how Back to You, Episode 8, Cradle to Grave ends. The viewership on this episode, 12.15 million viewers. It's their highest ratings so far. No surprise there, because you're coming off of American Idol. But in reading about the show's cancellation, and we'll get into more of that on future episodes of the Back to You podcast, the people at Fox even said 30 plus million people watched American Idol and only 12 million stuck around for Back to You. That isn't even that strong. But again, Back to You is an interesting show because it's a show about a family, yet it's not a show made for families to watch. I don't think there were too many 9-year-olds watching Back to You besides me. And a lot of kids love American Idol. So you're going from a show that's TV PG to a show that's TV-14, dialogue, language, sexual references, of course, most of the kids and most of the families watching American Idol are not going to stick around for Back to You. So I would take 12 million people as a win for sure. How will it do the next night after another episode of American Idol? Those results, as Ryan Seacrest likes to say on American Idol, the results will be very interesting to talk about as well on the next episode of the podcast. But right now, joining me on the podcast is the casting director of Back to You, Liz Marks. Liz, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's my pleasure. I had no idea that there was such an audience for Back to You still.
There is. It's got this cult following. I love this show. So many listeners out there love this show. And consider this cast to be one of the greatest casts in TV history. I mean, yes, they're like the Avengers of TV comedies. And we're going to get into how you assembled them all here. First of all, how did you come on board to this show?
Levitan and Lloyd, actually, Jeff Greenberg was their regular casting director, who's a fantastic casting director who does Modern Family for them. So he had done all their shows, but he was busy doing something else. And I had done a ton of work for 20th Century Fox, so they knew me well, but I wasn't Levitan and Lloyd's casting director. So they just asked me to do this, but I wasn't their regular person. So that's how I came on.
From what I've read, Kelsey and Patricia signed on rather early.
We were already on. I had nothing to do with that. I take no credit for that.
Okay, but you must have been thrilled that they were teaming up. I mean, my gosh, Frasier and Deborah Barone, it's a powerhouse combo.
That was a very heavy casting hit.
So what was the first major decision that you were a part of then?
So I'm trying to remember the order. The order doesn't really matter so much as how it sort of came together. But when we were casting the Ryan part, who was the news producer, originally they wanted someone who was really handsome, which I never really understood because nobody was really coming to watch that show for, like, sort of sex appeal. Like, you already had the funny element. You didn't really need the sex appeal element, but they wanted a really young, handsome guy, which never really made sense for the part. And we did have someone who came in who did one particular joke really, really well, and that was, like, the most of it. He did that one joke really well, and he was cute and charming. But it didn't sing. And we were all a little hesitant as to why this should be handsome, but everybody was sort of stuck in that route. But I wanted to bring in some other people for it, and I brought in Josh because I thought he was amazing, and he had the old sides. I don't know if your audience knows what sides means. The sides are the audition scene that people use. So pilot season moves so fast that we're trying to do things really, really quickly. It is not uncommon that I would cast a pilot in 2 weeks because you were competing with everybody else for the same actors. So we had the old sides because they hadn't been updated through his agent when he came to us. So Levitan and Lloyd were a little thrown by that he didn't have the right size, but he was hilarious. And he walked out, and I literally looked at them and said, "We will never get funnier than that." And they were like, yeah, but he's not handsome. No offense to Josh Gad, but that's not where he lives. And, you know, like, we sort of, everybody agreed that it was funny, but they just didn't think that that was what the part was going to be. And we did start, and the other guy got cast, but Levitan and Lloyd were never happy with him. And he got fired during the process. And Levitan and Lloyd also told me that they always fired people during the process. And I had never had any of my actors ever fired. So wow. I was living in to who it was going to be because they told me that they always, always fired people during their pilots. So we fired him, and Josh was already off shooting One, which was a movie that he was doing. So he could only come back, and I think, you know, we had like Monday to Friday. He could only come back Wednesday to Friday, and we're like, we'll make it work, and he got the part.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I'm so glad he got the part. It really boosted his career, then off to Book of Mormon, then off to Frozen. Do you consider in your years as a casting director that getting Josh was one of the highlights of your career?
You know, there are a lot of highlights. That was a great one. I was very happy to give him his television start, but he didn't need me. He was going to be on his way anyway.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I've chatted with him and met him a few times. He's fantastic. And I told him how passionate I was about this show, and he truly appreciated it. As far as the other main actors on the show, were you part of the casting as well for Fred Willard or Ty Burrell?
Fred was already connected. Fred, we didn't cast. I can't remember how he came on, but Fred, we already knew. Either we made the offer. We didn't test for that part. That's all I remember. And Ty was tricky because they had thought that they wanted someone else who I did not want for the part, and I was not supporting that. And they knew Ty, but Ty's agents wouldn't let him audition for it. Mm-hmm. And so nobody would let us hire him without an audition. And it was sort of just sort of agent kind of machinations on that front. So I called the manager, who's an amazing woman. I'm hoping he's still with her at this point. And we just sort of talked it through and said, we really want this to happen, but we have to be able to prove to everyone that he can do this. So we actually had him do a tape that, you know, just himself, not at the network or the studio. Mm. And we were able to use that to get him the part.
Fantastic. Another highlight was getting Haley Steinfeld.
Her first job. That was her, she got her SAG card on that show.
It's amazing. She's on episode 6, Gracie's Bully, which we covered a few weeks ago here on the podcast. Do you remember what her audition process was like?
I do. I do remember her. It was a really fun part because it had to sort of match Ada. You know, we wanted it to be threatening to Ada, so we wanted it to look like her, the girl who played Montana. And you know, and so, but I needed someone who was really sort of well-spoken and precocious and could pronounce the name of that river. I don't know if you guys talked about it.
Oh, yeah. The Monongahela, that's right.
And so I did audition quite a few kids, and there was no contest. She was definitely the best. And in fact, Levitan and Lloyd never really loved the casting process. I think they would be the first to tell you that. So they were rarely ever in the room when I did casting. I would usually do it all myself and send them tapes, or they would come in for just 4 people. You know, like they just really didn't love the process. Mm. But she was so clearly the person for it, but I knew she didn't have a SAG card, which meant that I had to go through Taft Hartleying her and getting her the set, you know, doing all of that, which is a hassle, but I was happy to do it for her. And then when she got True Grit, I was like, wait a second, I know that girl. Like, I hadn't known what had happened to her in the interim.
Oh, my gosh. And you go to a Haley Steinfeld new movie now, and every time you see her, you think back to all of this?
Well, there's plenty of people I gave their SAG card to, but I do remember giving, you know, she was like 11 years old or something.
Yeah, incredible. Of course, got the Oscar nomination for True Grit, which was so cool. We're with Liz Marks, the casting director of Back to You. Couple controversial casting things happened on the show, including Ida Field no longer being on the show midway through its run. Was that difficult? I talked with Fred Willard a couple weeks ago, and he found that whole experience to be kind of difficult.
I didn't even remember that happening, to tell you the truth. Hmm. I will tell you that originally, this is the only time that I wasn't true to myself as a casting director. We had originally wanted that part to be Hispanic because Fox feels very strongly about having multi-ethnic casts, which I totally supported and did that with all of my casts. But the guys just want who's funny for the part. It wasn't their first priority to make sure that we did that. They just wanted the funniest people for the part. And we did have a Hispanic actress for that part, and everyone thought she was funny, and I never got it. I never really was supportive of her. But the head of Fox Casting really liked her, too, and I was just sort of like, you know what, I'm just not going to say a word, and that's the only time in my career I've ever not stood up and said what I thought, and I just let it go, and I just never really saw that she was right for the part, and she was also fired during the pilot. Mm. And then they were just like, we just want Ada. And here's the other part that we don't talk about a lot, but there was another girl who was Southern, who she was not Hispanic, but she did it with a Southern accent, and it was hilarious. She was truly, truly funny, but the day of the test, she was so sick with the flu that she just couldn't get it together.
Wow.
Like, she tested, but she just wasn't there that day. And she was truly hilarious for the part. And so Ada got it, and Ada was great in the part. So I didn't even remember that Ada didn't end up staying with the show. I didn't. I actually had no memory of that.
Yeah, she had a little goodbye episode, and when Fred told me about this, he was like, she was given a choice either to have a final episode where she kind of goes off or to just mention it, and she decided to have an episode sort of centered around her goodbye. It shook up a lot of people, I think, obviously because during this time there was the writer's strike and there was Fox airing episodes out of order, and a lot of things were going on. Also a lot of things going on at that time with the Gracie character. Were you part of the recasting of it going from Laura Morano to Lily?
Lily, the reason why, you know, what happens often when we cast children in projects is that producers tend to want people that they feel will be the easiest, like that people who've had a lot of experience, people that have worked on sets before, and they tend to like err in that direction. That's never really what I push for, because with child actors, sort of the freshness, it makes it, you know, they just seem a little bit more real and less polished if they've had less experience. And Laura was very polished. And because she felt really mature, the precociousness seems less precocious and something else, you know, as they get older. So I think that was really the issue there, that it just didn't feel sort of cute and young because she was already sort of mature and sophisticated.
I look at the final episodes of the show and where the Gracie storyline went and how Chuck and Kelly end up telling her the truth, and I go, you know what, if they hadn't recast her, if Lily Jackson hadn't come in and was still Laura Morano, that whole situation, I think, would have changed and would have played out slightly differently, because you're right, the character was sort of different between the two of them. Were you surprised when Back to You ended up getting canceled after just one season?
I thought the show was great, and we really had amazing writers on that show.
Yeah.
I think it was more that it wasn't a great fit for Fox. That's not really Fox's wheelhouse. So I think on another network, it would have been a better fit.
Yeah.
But I'm never surprised, because I've worked on lots of great shows that go away and shows that are meh that stay. So, so there's never any rhyme or reason to that.
Now, how long after this did you then decide to change your entire career? What happened next for you?
It was pretty soon after that.
Huh.
It wasn't that long after that. I just, I hadn't really played my career that smartly, in that I mostly worked for 20th, and I wasn't really working as much for other people. And after the strike, the business sort of constricted, and I wasn't getting the projects that I liked as much, and so it was leaving me as much as I was leaving it. I wasn't loving the projects I was doing, and I had done it for a really long time, and my husband said to me, you know, like, you don't seem happy doing this anymore, and I just wanted to choose something else, and I found another career where I could use my exact same set of skills, but in a much more satisfying way.
Yeah, you're the director, one of the directors at CollegeWise, which is the largest college counseling organization in the U.S. I'm almost out of college, but I could have used you guys a few years ago. Tell me about what you guys do at CollegeWise.
It's really helping people through this process. I mean, if you pay attention to the news, you know, public schools do not pay for college counseling. They're, in many states, it's like 1,000 students for one counselor. So I never denigrate what school counselors are doing, but there's just not enough of them to help all the students. So families come to me individually to help them with this process. And it's just incredibly satisfying. Like, the thing I'm most proud of is that none of my kids have ever transferred. You know, we work really hard to find a school that makes sense for them so that they can be happy and thrive for their 4 years.
Yeah, the perfect place. That's great to hear. Everybody out there, check out CollegeWise, and maybe Liz will get you or your son or daughter out to the right institution, the right college.
It's not shocking that a lot of actors find their way to me.
Do you feel like this was the right change, the best decision you ever made to get out of the casting world and go into this, best decision of your life?
I don't live in those terms. You know, I probably would not have been a college counselor for my first career, but as a second career with a family, it was perfect for me. I really loved being a casting director for many years. I would just say the last sort of year and a half, it was just sort of not what it used to be, where people were more, you know, sort of evaluated by how many, you know, Twitter followers they had, kind of thing. And that was different from when I started casting, where it was really just based on talent. So I loved that I was a casting director, and I enjoyed that time, and I would never have changed that. But I'm really happy that I got to have a second start and do something else that I love.
That's really cool. So when you look back on your casting years and everything, where does this Back to You experience with this unbelievable ensemble that went on to do incredible things, especially Josh and Ty, where does it rank for you?
Oh, they're all like my babies. I can't think that way. I just can't do it.
But a positive one for sure.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. No, it was something I was proud of, but there's lots of things I was proud of.
Very good. Well, we're so thrilled to have you on this Back to You podcast. Liz Marks, the casting director of Back to You, helped assemble all these guys. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. It's time for the Back to You podcast trivia question. If you watched Cradle to Grave, what movie did Chuck try to get Gracie to watch while he was babysitting her? If you think you know the answer, go to the podcast's Twitter page at Back to You Pod and submit your guess. Next time on the Back to You podcast, it'll be episode 9, Business or Pleasure. And joining me on that episode will be actor Kobe Ryan McLaughlin, who played Craig St. Clair, fellow Pittsburgh news anchor, on this episode. He's also currently Shiloh on ABC's General Hospital. Kobe Ryan McLaughlin will be here on the Back to You podcast talking about his experience being a part of this show. So make sure you tune into that. And as always, follow the podcast on Twitter at Back to You Pod. Follow me as well at LCJ Reviews. And make sure you watch these episodes of Back to You before listening to these episodes of the podcast to get ready for the interviews with those who were a part of Back to You, more trivia questions and surprises along the way. Amazon Video, Vudu, iTunes, the Back to You Season 1 DVD, if you can find and buy that DVD, or maybe you rent it out of your local library, find these episodes of Back to You. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thanks for listening to the Back to You podcast.